This is a Sandler training audiobook, produced and distributed by Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, in partnership with Sandler Training. Scaling Sales Success, 16 Key Principles for Sales Leaders, by David Matson, narrated by Sean Pratt. We hope you enjoy this program. Introduction. This book is focused on sales leadership. I wrote it for people who are responsible for the performance of a sales team. Leadership in sales is a very different skill from day-to-day management. This is because leadership is focused on the business, whereas management is devoted to solving problems that arise in the business. More of the soft skills, rapport building, listening, public speaking, and so on, are required for effective leadership than are required for management. That may seem to suggest that leadership is the easier of the two paths, but the truth is that leadership is far harder for many people because it is less tactical. Not all sales managers are sales leaders, but I believe all sales managers can learn to be sales leaders. In order to scale the success of your team in a way that supports ongoing, aggressive growth, leadership is a non-negotiable requirement. In fact, it is impossible to create scalable revenue growth, increasing it predictably and sustainably, with day-to-day management alone. For that kind of growth, you need real leadership. Leadership that is committed to creating and supporting a special kind of sales team, the kind that corrects itself. This means engaging people. In my experience, happy employees, and specifically happy salespeople, mean a happier and healthier business. If salespeople report to you, it is, I believe, your job, as their leader, to do what you can to make their experience working for you positive and enriching. Leadership, that quality most sought after in business, is best understood as the means by which you ensure that happiness. When people are engaged and motivated and feel they are part of something larger than themselves, that is to say, when they are happy, they are more productive. This book aims to show you how to make that happen. It outlines the rules of the road for those leaders who are ready to make the journey necessary to transform a team of disengaged or marginally engaged salespeople into a cohesive, committed team capable of generating scalable revenue growth. Study after study shows that companies that have strong leadership and higher levels of employee engagement tend to have lower employee turnover and better financial results than companies that don't. Most of the sales leaders we work with have seen this research. They know what the statistics say and what the trends are. They know the implications for their team's production. But they also know their sales team is not as engaged as it could be. Their question is a simple one. What can I do to close the engagement gap on my team and make scalable growth a reality, not just a target? My hope is that some of the ideas in the book will help you begin to close that gap. In addition to drawing heavily on my own experience as I worked on this, I read paper after paper and considered insight after insight from researchers and academics. Some of what they had to say, I agreed with. Some, I didn't. Frankly, some of the ideas came from people who aren't in the leadership space and did not understand it. Other ideas came from people who had spent a lot of time in the trenches and who spoke from experience. I learned something from every source I could find, but in the end, I found that the best advice came from the people who had put in time in the trenches by leading a sales team. The point on which everyone with direct personal experience seems to agree is that all the important things individuals strive for, goal achievement, mission orientation, the sense of having made a contribution, the sense of having approached or attained one's full potential, depend on the quality of the leadership present. You're not going to have an awesome culture in the team, for instance, If the decisions from the leader that directly affect the team's working culture are not driven by integrity. A University of Warwick study concluded that happy people were, on average, 12% more productive than others, with some performing as high as 20% above the control group. One vitally important goal is keeping your salespeople engaged, yet keeping employees engaged is not easy. If it were, everyone would do it. A major obstacle is that everything, and I do mean everything, flows downhill. Your people are always watching what you do and listening to what you say and don't say. Some look to you for inspiration. Some want to mimic what you do with their teams. And others are especially tuned into inconsistencies in your messaging and your actions. Not only that, the environment in which your team operates is constantly changing, sometimes at astonishing speed. The rapid pace of change can be confusing and disorienting. If it is confusing and disorienting to you, it is going to be confusing and disorienting to your salespeople. All of this makes it extremely difficult to engage salespeople and keep them engaged. Given these circumstances, I believe it is vitally important for anyone who finds themselves in a sales leadership position to commit to being the best they can possibly be and to create and follow a plan of continuous growth and personal and professional development. With that commitment in mind, I would submit that learning to master the 16 rules listed here needs to be part of the development plan for any and every leader. Think of them as operating principles. 1. Lead with integrity. Know what you stand for and communicate accordingly. 2. Don't get emotionally involved. Disengage from the drama. 3. Check your own pipeline first. Keep an eye out for talent. Avoid the most common onboarding mistakes. 4. Model and coach excellence with private meetings. Use one-on-one discussions to support growth and development. 5. Tap into the why. Find out what drives people on a personal level. 6. Begin with their point of view. Understand and respect behavioral style and perspective. 7. Be strategically inquisitive. Ask questions that clarify all the important issues. 8. Respect their truth. Accept that yours is not the only point of view and that people are just as passionate about their opinion. 9. Build tomorrow's leaders. Set people up for success. 10. Make accountability the norm. Create a culture of accountability. 11. Create team ownership of ideas and solutions. Leverage the wisdom and creativity of the team. Give others the credit. 12. Don't wimp out. Set priorities that push you beyond your comfort zone. 13. Develop the right processes and the tools that support them. Create and implement playbooks. 14. Macro manage. Let people do their jobs. 15. Become a learning team. Commit to personal and professional development. And 16. Be ready for anything. Plan, prepare, and then be flexible. These are the building blocks of effective leadership, which is what makes scalable revenue growth possible. Learning to grasp and follow these rules takes practice, but if you commit to making them part of who you are when you show up for work each morning, then you have what it takes to be a true sales leader, not just a sales manager. Even someone who has struggled with their own development as a leader in the past can make rapid progress by focusing consistently on these 16 core principles. Are great leaders made or born? Many people imagine that good leaders are simply born that way, that someone either has or doesn't have, the DNA that supports certain distinctive traits and predispositions. Supposedly, these inborn traits and predispositions add up to that elusive quality popularly known as leadership potential. That's not our experience here at Sandler. Great leadership can be learned. While there's no substitute for being passionate about what you are doing, there are also principles that can be learned and mastered to increase your leadership effectiveness. After more than 5 decades of working with sales leaders across all industries and sectors, we at Sandler have found that developing leadership is a matter of sustained effort and focus on the 16 critical principles you just read. The words of the principles can't replace experience, of course, but we do see them as necessary starting points that lead aspiring sales leaders toward the necessary experience. It would be nice if every new sales leader could skip all the mistakes and still get the benefit of all the lessons learned. But that is not how mastery is developed. It is developed through gradual learning. The pattern of gradual learning, of course, does not play out only in the business world, but in all walks of life. People grow, change, and adapt over time. Some of them develop what look like natural leadership skills, but these are really the accumulation of hard work and experience. For example, few of the people who knew him in the 1920s considered Harry Truman a natural-born leader. He had dropped out of college, started a business that went bankrupt, and went down to electoral defeat for a county judge position. A 2017 poll of historians, however, identified him as one of the greatest presidents in U.S. history. Great leaders, in other words, are made, not born. This is as true of sales leaders as it is of any other kind of leader. They can be naturally outgoing or naturally reserved, naturally task-focused or naturally people-focused. None of that has anything to do with whether a person can develop sales leadership skills and learn to adapt their communications and their strengths to the individual and the situation at hand. As a sales leader, you can always improve. In seeking out your own optimum level of performance, though, remember that you have been shaped by what you observe and how you were treated by your own leaders and other important people in your life. You may find yourself perpetuating bad leadership habits you saw firsthand only because you didn't know better at the time. Perhaps you've seen the Progressive insurance commercials featuring Dr. Rick, who intones solemnly, "My job is to help new homeowners who have turned into their parents." It's hilarious. But that commercial also serves as a reminder that people often really do mimic their parents, usually without realizing it. I often catch myself in the act, saying to myself, "I sound just like Dad," or, "That's what Mom would do." You may have had a similar experience. Here's the point. In your professional life, you are just as likely to unconsciously mimic the people to whom you reported earlier in your career. It's your responsibility to understand those influences and to break the mold when necessary. My daughter came home one day and told us that she wanted to be a nurse. She had given this a lot of thought. My wife and I supported her in that decision because it obviously meant a lot to her. It wasn't my place to tell her to follow in my footsteps instead of doing what she wanted to do, which was to serve people in a healthcare setting. Isn't that the best way to respond to a child's interests? To encourage them to grow and develop over time in a way that makes sense to them? Of course it is. The key phrase in any such discussion is, as David Sandler knew, encourage people to grow and develop. He didn't believe, and I don't believe, that there is any such thing as a born salesperson, or for that matter, a born sales leader. Are pilots born? Are doctors born? Are landscapers born? Are baseball players born? Of course, the answer is no. It takes years of hard work to get to the point where you can make a contribution in any of those areas, much less excel in one of them. Sales leadership is the same. If you have chosen this as your path and you want to make a personal commitment to get better at it over time, I wrote this book for you. A side note, in sharing these foundational leadership principles with sales leaders, we found that people got great results from following them, not only on the job, but in their other roles in life. Many of the rules in this book have universal relevance to anyone and everyone taking on personal responsibility for a team's performance. However, my first and most important priority in assembling these 16 rules has been to help sales leaders master the leadership skills that enable them and their teams to post dramatic, scalable, and sustainable increases in revenue over an extended period. These 16 operating principles work in developing effective sales leaders in any industry. Excellence in sales leadership is, I believe, a lifelong journey, not a destination. The rules you will be learning in this book, most of which I learned first from my own mentor, David Sandler, the founder of our company, are signposts that can guide you and keep you on the right course as you make that journey. Rule 1. Lead with integrity. Know what you stand for and communicate accordingly. Be more concerned with your character than your reputation, because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are. John Wooden. A while back, one of my UK contacts, the managing director, equivalent of a CEO, at a major client company, told me a fascinating story, one that illustrates the immense power of setting the right personal example, which is really what this first rule, lead with integrity, is all about. The managing director noticed that there was limited parking space in the company headquarters garage. People were complaining about the shortage and putting up traffic cones in an attempt to save choice spots. It wasn't pretty. The ongoing arguments meant that there was always stress first thing in the morning, not just for the managing director, but for the whole organization. One day, he asked himself a question. Why not ride my bike to the office? He didn't live that far from the building. Biking was good exercise, and, by biking in, he'd himself avoid the stress of trying to find a parking spot. There was never any difficulty finding a place in the garage to put a bike. So, he started biking to work. People noticed. Then, the most amazing thing happened. Without him having said a word or issuing any kind of instructions or suggestions about how to get to work, people changed their behaviors. Within 6 months, the building's garage was full of bicycles. This is a true story, one worth studying closely, about the power of personal leadership. Here's the key takeaway. Whether they're consciously aware of it or not, people model their behavior and their decision paths on those of their leaders. It is always the leaders who set the standard. This simple, inescapable fact means that sales leaders carry a certain moral responsibility with every choice they make and every action they take. The question is, are they setting the right example? As a leader, you constantly need to ask yourself, would I want everyone on the team approaching their decisions in the way I am approaching this decision? Would I want everyone on the team taking this course of action if they were faced with a situation similar to the one I am facing? Do I want people to act the way I am acting right now? And do I want people communicating the way I am communicating right now? At the end of the day, these questions point to a single, vitally important word, integrity. Now, if you go to the dictionary, you'll find that this word features two complementary, overlapping meanings. The first meaning of integrity is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. The second meaning is the state of being whole and undivided. I mention this because both of those definitions are required to grasp what this first and perhaps most important leadership rule is all about. Great sales leaders have strong moral principles that are not layered on or factored in as some kind of afterthought. Their principles are essential, non-negotiable elements of who they are as human beings. Are they perfect people? No. But they know that if they deviate from what they know is right, that always leaves a gap, a deficit, a lack of wholeness, something that must be repaired. Just as you can't drive a car with one of the wheels missing, you won't get very far as a sales leader without integrity. Eventually, there is going to be a breakdown because the rest of the team is going to be following your example, whether you mean for them to or not. Any lack of integrity on your part is going to echo and multiply. If your aim is to build a team that delivers the kind of success that is both measurable and scalable, you always need to start from a place of integrity. Understand that people watch what you do. They see how you make decisions and interact with others, and then they adjust their behavior and their thinking to match up with yours. There are three big areas where you can make leading with integrity the starting point for yourself and your team. Let's look at each of them now. Sales leadership key number one, know what you stand for. What are your values? What are the principles from which you draw strength, the core commitments that you are not willing to compromise? What are the values that guide you, your team, and your organization as you answer the question, how do we do things around here? You may remember the film Gladiator, starring Russell Crowe as the Roman general Maximus. Before going into battle, Maximus reminds himself and others of his values by saying the following words out loud: strength and honor. Drawing on that strength and upholding that honor is not always easy. In fact, it is sometimes excruciatingly difficult for Maximus. But these values are what define him as a person and the movement he eventually leads. Leaders need a similar set of words they can appeal to as their moral compass, both for themselves and their organization. For instance, mutual respect, clarity, professionalism, and transparency. I'm not saying you must make these specific words your personal or team values, but I am saying that you need to identify some set of words that briefly express who you are and what you stand for, even when the pressure is on. People need to see you defending your own values, even when it would be easier not to. For instance, if you say you value respect and professionalism, but you keep someone on your sales team who consistently abuses those values because they are bringing in money, that's a failure of leadership. Your people need to see you making the tough decisions that support your values. They need to know what to expect. They will respect you and work harder to support your vision when they see you making difficult decisions that are consistent with what you truly believe. Sales leadership key number two, build trust, be consistent and congruent. Creating and expanding trust is a matter of consistency and congruence. Let's look at consistency first. People want to trust you, but to do so they need to see evidence that you aren't making decisions in a haphazard or random way. They want to be able to count on you. This means settling on a predictable schedule for interacting with them, and then using a clear, comprehensible set of standards for making decisions that affect them, so that they're not taken by surprise. One classic way to destroy trust is to try to please everyone on your team, a habit that always leads to inconsistent decision-making. Leaders who try to please everyone end up pleasing no one. When your standards constantly shift to keep people happy, they can't tell which way the wind is going to blow on any given day. There's no consistent objective standard guiding the decisions. Being popular is nice, but it is not always possible. Let's look next at congruence. This means making sure your words match up with your deeds and beliefs. It also means doing what you say you are going to do. Is your word your bond? If the people who report to you all agree that it is, then you don't have a problem with congruence. If they have to stop and think about a trail of broken commitments, then you have some work to do on this score. Think of a specific public figure you personally find hard to trust. Have you got someone in mind? Great. Now, why don't you trust that person? I'm willing to bet it's because their messaging doesn't come across as sincere to you. Maybe they made commitments they didn't follow through on, and they hoped no one would notice. Maybe there were times when that person was not willing to say, "I don't know." Maybe the person said things they thought sounded good on the surface, but simply didn't align with reality. That's all incongruence. It makes people doubt what the leader has to say, even when it's true. When you are incongruent, people come away from discussions with you wondering whether you're saying what you really believe. They waste a lot of time and energy trying to figure out if you have given them the full picture. The only way you can build trust as a leader is to make your thinking, behavior, and decisions line up. That means leveling with people, even if that entails sharing a point of view or a decision they disagree with. If you are following the same values all the time and making big decisions, you will usually find that it is easier for people to understand why a given decision didn't go their way. If the only truth you have to share at the moment is, "I can't talk about that yet," or "I'm still working on that," go ahead and say that. People don't always want to hear those answers, but if they are all you've got to share, share them. Be very careful not to confuse a desire to tell the truth with a desire for acceptance. The person on the other side of the conversation may not agree or like what you are saying. That is a separate topic. If you avoid the conversation or shade the message in an effort to avoid confrontation, that will only cause more issues to deal with down the line. When you make choices that undercut the truth and erode trust, you will have to pay for those choices at some point, and so will your team. The moral here is pretty simple. Shoot straight with people if you want them to trust you. Be consistent and tell them the truth. According to Trust Across America, the stock share price of the 10 most trustworthy public companies in the United States, using that organization's methodology for establishing trustworthiness, have outperformed the S&P 500 by over 25% since 2010. Sales leadership key number 3. When you make a mistake, own it. A big part of integrity is taking personal responsibility for your actions and decisions as a leader. Other people may decide to play the CYA, cover your anatomy, game. As a leader, you can't. You're not going to make the right decision 100% of the time, but you also know that if you're following the right process and the right methodology, if you're thinking about all the things you should be thinking about, then a bad decision is always going to be a learning experience. Accept that. Take responsibility for what happened and move on. Blaming others is a waste of precious time and energy. If you are tempted to blame a member of the sales team for a problem, any problem, rather than assume personal responsibility for the team's performance, then you are outside of integrity. Many people don't get this, but it's an essential element of the leader's job description that you cannot overlook. You don't get to point fingers. You are the one making the call about what to do and how to do it. When something goes wrong, just own up to it. Be straight with the team about what happened and fix the problem. See also Rule 10's sales leadership key, hold yourself accountable first. We will look at its implications for the team in more depth in that chapter. Show people by your own example what owning a mistake looks like. Learn from it so you don't have to repeat it. Then, keep going. Isn't that what you want your team to do when they make a mistake?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?